covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once
again. We will invite our next speaker to help us in a very mysterious garment that, if you are not very careful, you'll be in that system. People are there faithfully, judiciously, earnestly worshiping. But that earnestness, that degree of faithfulness, is not a yardstick for what? And for salvation. They go by that populist ideology, popularism, that, oh, everybody's worshiping in that particular system. That should make it right. Please, God does not deal with multitudes. He deals with people who are faithful. And throughout history, we've seen the layout. We should be very careful about the mixed multitude and careful about political correctness. We will ask Elder Damian to help us know which this mystery of Babylon the Great is all about. It's mystery. We are saying the whole thing is mystery. So how to unravel this mystery? And the Bible has given us pointing clues. You can't miss this fact. The Bible gives us all the symbols, gives us all the clues, and the Bible explains itself. Please, when you are reading Revelation, when you're reading Daniel, the Bible explains those images clearly. Don't miss them. Go read yourself and point those images. In Revelation chapter 17, it tells us who or what these images are. Read Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, at 9. It gives us pointers to this system that we are talking about. So, Elder, understand what this mystery is all about, how to unravel it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the platform, the foundation that has been laid by the previous speakers. Mystery Babylon the Great. And I was reading the entire lesson and this particular part. I tried to connect, as our Elder Stephen was saying, different scriptures to different parts. Tuesday's lesson, to see if I can get a wider understanding of it. And when in Revelation 17, verse 5, it states that, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I remember scriptures in the Old Testament where God speaks about harlots, how they are dressed. They are not dressed with meekness. Like in the New Testament, we are told as children of God to dress with meekness, to adorn ourselves with meekness, not with outward appearance, with costly pearls and an array. And if you go to verse 4, you start hearing about this costly pearls and array that decked this woman. Let me remind you again, as Elder had mentioned in his introduction, that women in prophecy represents God's people, the church. It is of some kind of church here. This is the only woman that has been mentioned in Revelation, but this is one type of church. And as we are hearing, it is somewhat a church which confusion is in. And it says here in verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And if you focus up on the attire for a minute, you start thinking, okay, costly pearls, decked with gold, the golden cup, stones, scarlet, purple. And you say, well, a harlot might be dressed like that, but who else does the Bible talk about who might be dressed like this? And then you start thinking of, back in the Old Testament days, the priests had on a certain clothing. And you say, look at how the devil is trying to deceive the world. He is putting his counterfeit church. And when we say counterfeit church and we say confusion, God is calling people out of confusion. Doesn't mean that anybody who's a part of this church is not trying by whatever means or whatever knowledge they know about God to serve him aright. But God is still trying to call them out of that confusion and into his light. Because some of us who are on this platform, probably all of us, were a part of churches that taught some confusion. So we're not saying anything about your churches, brothers and sisters. We're just saying here, if you look at this
and conclude your submission on this important topic. I don't know, I get so excited sometimes because of some of these things, the zeal and the enthusiasm that I speak with. It pains my heart when I see these things happen. When the truth is there and people are choosing error, it actually pains me. Continue with your submission. Thank you.
Elder here. Yes. So from the enemy, we were saying there, and as Elder was saying it, we can see that counterfeit church decked in purple, just like the royal priesthood of the Old Testament sanctuary was decked in purple. And we have to be careful, because that's what the enemy does. Mix a bit of truth with error in order to deceive God's people, even to try and deceive the very elect. But there is something about this scarlet beast in verse 17. It says, it is so evil, this system is so evil, that it is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. So people who are trying to worship God according to his precepts and his word, but are not trying to worship, as the elder previously mentioned, by the traditions of men and their own laws and rules, then they are persecuted and some of them are killed. It's rather sad that we are being forced somewhat to worship God like this. This mysterious Babylon the Great is not, as the elder said, a city that is still in the southern part of Iraq, but it's a system. It represents a system of confusion that doesn't want to worship according to God's precept. It's not a Christ-centered worship, as the lesson was telling us, based on Christ's grace, sacrifice, and atonement for salvation. But instead, it's a humanistic approach to faith that is independent of Christ and more dependent on all sorts of rules and regulations. A few of them were mentioned in the lesson so far. So, brethren, we need to understand what this system, mysterious Babylon, represents. We need to study God's word, just like the Bereans, to know if it is in the word of God and not just take it from our leaders as gospel, so that we can understand God's truth. And we know if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them, as Isaiah 8 verse 20 says. And God will lead us to his truth. Amen.
Amen. God will definitely lead us. God will lead us to his truth. He has always been the captain of the Lord's, and he has led his people throughout history. If you actually will seek him in truth and in faithfulness, he always will lead us. Let me give the last identifying mark as the next presenter comes to give us his presentation. That system changes and modifies God's law. Please search for these commandments. They are not the commandments in the Bible. They have other books besides the 66 books that we're talking about. The Ten Commandments have been tempered with. That is how dangerous that particular system is. And this is not a truth they've hidden from the public. This is in the documentation, but people are not reading. When you want to hide something from people, you normally will put it in book, in print, in black and white. And people will not bother. People go to those systems and they don't bother to read about what the Bible says, about what their leader is saying. What their leader says is what they take. They don't compare scripture with scripture to see whether what is being preached, whether the doctrines they have been indoctrinated with agrees with the scripture. To change times and the laws, that is in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and had tempered with God's commandment, promote climatology gospel against the Christology gospel of Christ, which is his great commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And it goes on to say that we should repent and modify our lifestyle to save the planet. That system goes further to tell us that we are prophets of doom. We are blowing strings of popularism and self-interested false messiahs when we talk about issues of calling people's attention from that system. It goes further to say that we will never bring the gospel of proselytizing, that we shouldn't go proselytizing to people. We should allow people to be in whatever denomination that they find themselves, because of the interfaith dialogues that are taking place. So let people be. Blend all together. At the end, God is going to save everyone. And these are dangerous doctrines. We are told by this system that those people who do that practice religious extremism like a plague. They are telling you that the system is like a chameleon. The system is like a leopard. It can never change its skin. It might come with that gospel of peace, but inside their cloak is a dagger. Inside the message that they bring, they are hiding behind the veneer of falsehood to deceive people as he did. Satan is setting his train against their work and is moving them to intense activity. He will work as he did. The prince of this world is moving with fast speed, with rapidity to win people, to have that victory. But glory be to God that Christ has already defeated him. We are told the season of distress before God's people will call for a faith that will never falter. A faith that will never falter. A faith that will stand for the truth, though the heavens will fall. A faith that will go by, that says the Lord, that will follow the commandment of God rather than following the commandment of men. He invites our next speaker to help us understand this important subtopic, which is doubt, a call to commitment. Brother Rutra, help us. What is this commitment? Once you have identified these waymarks, there's now a call to commitment. What is this call? Brother Brian, can you help us discuss this lesson? Thank you very much.
Thank you for this wonderful lesson that we are called to finding the identification mark of this mastery in this lesson. I would like to continue with the next part, which is a call to commitment. A call to commitment. As the other presenters have already laid a great foundation of this lesson, Revelation's appeal is an urgent call to commitment, summarized in the symbolism of two women in Revelation. The fact is, although at times it will appear that God's people will be defeated in this cosmic controversy between the truth and error, the fact is God promises that his church will triumph in the end. That's a fact, because they are very clear promises Jesus made to his disciples. When you look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The other fact we find out still in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, another promise was given, a true and clear promise. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful." What promise did Jesus give to his disciples regarding his church? The fact is, Christ is the solid foundation for his church that is built upon him. His church is based on the teachings of his word and guided by the Holy Spirit or his spirit. On the contrary, Babylon itself, as we have seen, is rooted on human-made teachings and traditions. So any religious leader who substitutes human opinions or traditions of a place or above the revealed will of God in the scriptures is simply fostering Babylon confusion. The fact is, as it was in the past where Babylon, the church and state in history when Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, because at that time the church and the state were together. And it reached a point where the king took the power of God, had to force men of God to bow down to something which is not God. Same is happening today. As it was in ancient days, so is it in these last days. The church and state system will arise, spiritual Babylon, with a spiritual leader claiming to be as God. His word will be declared to be the only word of God, and his commands the commands of God. So the fact is, throughout the century, the Roman pontiffs have declared that they stand in the place of God on earth. Of June 20th, 1894, Pope Leo the 13th stated, "We hold upon this earth the place of the Almighty God." This is a testimony from a documented doc by the church. The Ferris Ecclesiastic Dictionary adds, "The Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted as he is not a mere man, but as it were God and the vicar of God. Who can be the vicar of God on earth? No one. So these are the claims the church has taken. But Apostle Paul warned us, as I conclude, says, the Apostle Paul adds these words exposing this power. When you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and all that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The question is, this was testified by the Apostle Paul. Which side are you standing on? Are you paying homage to somebody who calls himself God, or are you paying homage to the one who is the real creator, that is Jesus Christ? Choose today. As the call of commitment is made today, choose to worship God, but not a false God. May the Lord bless you. Have a wonderful lesson as we keep studying together. Thank you.
Thank you. And as Joe, I hope that we will all make that proclamation that choose whom you worship today. That were against your true God who did evil, and for that matter, the Lord judgment upon them, or the Lord who brought you out of that bondage of sin, out of slavery, to his marvelous life. I want to take my last quote, then I'll invite our last speaker to give us his perspective on this lesson. No sooner was the earth repeopled than men assumed their hostility to God and heaven. That is after the antediluvians were destroyed. They transmitted their enmity to their posterity as though the act of device of misleading men and causing them to continue their unnatural warfare was a sacred legacy. This confederacy was born of rebellion against God. The dwellers on the plain of Shinar established their kingdom of self-exaltation, not for the glory of God. Had they succeeded, a mighty power would have borne sway, banishing righteousness and inaugurating a new religion. I want you to watch the Commonwealth Games inaugural ceremony. Just watch that video and see how they try to portray this kind of system and how this world is following blindly these dangerous doctrines. The world will have been demoralized. The mixture of religious ideas with erroneous theory will have resulted in closing the door to peace, happiness, and security. These suppositions, erroneous theories, carried out and perfected, will have directed minds from allegiance to divine statues, and the law of Jehovah will have been ignored and forgotten. Determined men inspired and urged on by the great rebel will have resisted any interference with their plans or their evil course. In place of divine precept, they will have substituted laws framed in accordance with the desires of their selfish heart in order that they might carry out their purpose. You can read further from this particular quote in our Bible commentary, page 1091 and 1092, the first volume. I urge you to grab a copy of this and read for more education. I'll ask Brother Apemba to help us understand what this center of harlotry is all about. What is this Bible belongs to the center of harlotry? Brother, help us.
Thank you. Greetings. It's really been a great lesson. Remember, we are studying Revelation in the first verse says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must soon take place. In Revelation, this is what will soon take place. And remember, Revelation says, blessed is the person who reads this word. So as you are reading this, don't feel agitated. No, if the truth has struck you, this is a blessing. Blessed is the person who's going to read this word. In this revelation of Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation, we come across the issue of Babylon, two churches that have been brought about, the church of truth and this church that is leading people into confusion. Thursday says Babylon, the center of our adoratory. We want to go back to physical Babylon. We want to see what was happening in Babylon. Remember, Babylon, we're not talking of the physical Babylon now. We are into the spiritual Babylon. So we want first to compare and see what is it that they were doing that this spiritual Babylon is still doing today. Follow me as we learn this. So we'll go in Jeremiah chapter 50. I'll choose some verses, but the main text is from verse 33 to 38. Due to time, I'll not read all of them, but you can read. The verse again is Jeremiah 50, verse 33 to verse 38. So allow me to start first with 33. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel were oppressed along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. This describes the children of Israel when they were in Babylon. In 34 says, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case that he may give rest to the land and disquieten the inhabitants of Babylon. Now let's go to the last verse, 38. A drought is against her waters and they will be dried up. For is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. Here's something that we are finding out. Babylon, the physical Babylon, the ancient Babylon, was into idolatry. Let us check another verse. That is Jeremiah 51, verse 17. It says, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metal smith is put to shame by the carved images. For his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. We're still talking about images. We find this in Babylon. They were making images, and they were not only making them, they were worshiping these images. The other verse, 51:47 of Jeremiah. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain. Here is one thing that we've established, not from hearsay, not from the word of our own making, from the word of God. Babylon used to worship idols. They used to make idols, and the Bible is saying these idols cannot even speak. Today, we find that in the spiritual Babylon, Revelation has said in the last days there will be this lady, and Babylon the Great has fallen. It is likening it to the ancient Babylon, meaning in this coming world, in this present time, or in the future to come, there'll be a religion that will equally worship idols. We know from Exodus 20, verse 4 to 6, among the Ten Commandments, we are told that you shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep his commandments. God says he's a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to worship any other gods. This system, idols even today. Now, what we should realize is this. When the Christians are back in history, in the fourth century, when Christianity was being taken to the pagans, what these people thought was, for us to bring these pagans into us, let's be soft with them. In trying to be soft with them, they allowed idols to creep into the church. They might have just changed a bit. How did they change? Maybe they didn't get the actual idols. They turned into images. Nowadays, you find people giving homage to images. They'll put an image and they'll value that image and they worship that image. All that is the system of Babylon. Christians that time thought that maybe by being lukewarm, they'll allow these people to come into the church and fall on Christ's side. But they made a mistake because they came with that religion and that religion stuck. And it's a falsehood that now people think it's okay. Have you ever gone into places where people think the moment they have this picture in their house, then they are saved? They think because they have this picture, then everything will be fine. So they don't pray to God, but they pray to this picture. This is falsehood, and we are told this religious system will advocate for such a message. Is it us who are saying this? No, ladies and gentlemen, we are not the ones creating this. It's the word of God that is saying this. We are presenting each truth that is coming out. We are presenting it with a verse to show that it is not us that are saying this. it is God who's saying this. Remember, Revelation says he's showing us things that will happen soon. And remember, the Bible says God will not do anything before telling it to us via his prophets. And he's telling us this message that we should prepare so that when the time has come, remember last week we said we'll all be accountable for what we've done. Judgment is coming, but we'll all be accountable. And God is giving us the word. I'm coming to my conclusion. Christ says, brothers, I have that are not yet in this fold, but they will come. He says the word will be preached to every nation, and they that are there, he still has people that are outside that are not yet in his fold. He says they are there, they are his people, and they'll come out. You are a child of God. He's the person he was talking to. He is calling you out. Let us come out from this falsehood. Let us come out from Babylon. Remember, blessed is the person who's going to read this word. Let us read the Bible. Let us read the materials that we've been taught, and let us decide which part of truth we want to be. On the lady that is representing Babylon, or the lady that is representing the true church of God. Thank you very much, and have a blessed, blessed week.
I wish we could continue on this topic. We could continue. You talk about jealousy, and people have misunderstood God. Don't talk about he's being jealous. He's not jealous because of the choice that he wants to make. He's jealous because he owns you. He's jealous because he created you. He's jealous because he loves you. He's likened us to the daughter of Zion. Right? The Bible is self-explanatory. People have jumped on the whole, God is jealous God. And for that matter, he's being autocratic. No, God is a loving God. It's Satan who is so jealous. And his jealousy leads to the destruction of people who even ignore to follow his dictates or have decided to forgo his kingdom. We take our summaries. Elder Michael, in 1 minute, what is the take-home message?
I'm very glad for the submissions being done here. Listeners, this is what I want us to share. There is a group of people, those who are elsewhere depicted as called the chosen and faithful. And I want to tell us that let's be part of this group. Let's be part of the chosen ones by keeping the commandment of God. Down through centuries, God has always had a team who have been faithful to him. May the Lord bless us and give us the strength to live and be part of the faithful ones. May the Lord bless us. Amen.
Amen. That is part of this winning team. Elder Oliver, what is the take-home message in a minute?
The take-home message here is it's not yet too late. If you're still in the confusion of Babylon, God is calling you. Come out of here, my people.
Brothers and sisters, it says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching four doctrines, the commandments of men. God is teaching us his truth, that we do not depend on our own commandments, our own way of living a faithful life to him by works, because our works cannot save us. We have to live a Christ-centered life. And how we understand how to live that Christ-centered life is through his word. Let his word guide you in all truth, my brothers and sisters, and out of confusion. Amen.
It's a call of commitment. Will you choose to serve God, or will you choose to serve mere men who assume the power of Almighty God? Choose this day whom you'll serve. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Powerful. Choose this day you will serve. Let me take my concluding remarks. The mark of the beast is authority, among others. It's not a chip, a vaccine, identification, though this may facilitate its implementation. Deception is when somebody says, I love you, but you will later find that the person is cheating on you. But if the person says, I hate you, and later find that he's actually cheating on you, you are not surprised. So this is the kind of system that is out there. It's telling you it loves you. It's telling you that, oh, this is the truth. But unfortunately, it is giving you an error. And some of the errors I will give you, beware of rapture theory or theology, and then the religious creeping compromises. The system claims that it isn't from the sacred teachings alone does the church draws everything which has been revealed. Therefore, both sacred tradition and sacred scripture are to be accepted and venerated with the same devotion and reverence. This is parallel. Don't forget that Christ spoke against the traditions, the customs of the Jewish, because they placed them above the law of Jehovah, above the Holy Scriptures, which is the only standard of our faith. It continues, masses for the living and the dead have the same personal value of Christ's pastoral ministry, of which is the ritual representation. They say it is just a representation. It is the actual Eucharist that you are enjoying. But Christ said this is just symbolic token of his death as a bread from heaven and his blood as the cleansing element for every sins that has been confessed. For that matter, these teachings that we put together has led to these global teachings that are not based on the scripture. The doctrine of pre-existence of the spirit of man has led to a great array of other unique teachings basic to Mormonism, such as the temple work for the dead and baptism for the dead, genealogical work, doctrine of spirit in prison, doctrine of 3 degrees of glory, beliefs regarding conditional and unconditional immortality, beliefs that man can progress to an equality with God, formerly held doctrine concerning plurality of wives, teachings on temple marriages, sealing of families for all eternity in the temples, a claim that apostles Peter, James, John brought the Melchizedek priesthood, which led this church to claim to possess and to which it points its authority for preaching the gospel. I think we will be very careful not to fall to some of these deceptions. So widespread that if he does not get you in this particular one, he gets you in the other. Let the Bible always be our standard of authority and our standard of yardstick to measure or to gauge every wind of doctrine that's actually blowing around us. We will invite Brother Brian to commit us into the hands of God and our viewers. This is a very important and salvific message that the whole world has to hear. And as Brother Yerenda said, sometimes it hits you hard. We are telling you what the Bible says. We are quoting from your religious leaders, your religious doctrines, your religious books, and compare them with what the Bible actually says. We are calling you out of that false system of worship. We are calling you to a true worship, which is based on thou sayest the Lord. Brother, kindly pray for us as we bring our study to a close. Thank you.
We are thankful, especially the things that are soon to happen. Thank you, Lord, for you do not do anything without warning your children. There are many who are still in Babylon, but they are sincere Christians. They do not know that they are being deceived. Lord, I pray that you open their eyes, that they may see the truth, distinguish between right and wrong, and follow you, the creator of the universe, and the truth that you speak in your word. Lord, bless all the viewers, and bless all the presenters. And keep us, Lord, until next week when we shall meet again and discuss more about Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Elder, for that wonderful prayer. I will come your way next week. Some of the deceptive practices that this system is putting out there, this system with its daughters. Remember, that false system has daughters. Don't only looking at the system. Look if you are in that daughter apostate religious system so that you will not laugh at the wrong side of your mind. For Christ will say, go away from me. I know you not, because you did what was unrighteous. Until we come your way next week at the same time, the same network, with that same content based on the Bible, we say, Have a God-filled week.
Covers my sin each time I come into